Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay! This season is sponsored by our friends at Flywheel, who've hosted our Creative Class website for years.
They're who we trust for reliable service and top-notch customer support.
They also take care of everything, from security to nightly backups to free demo sites.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/cc and use the code CCPODCAST to get 50% off your first month of any plan.
Hooray.
Bad habits are something that I am not great at. I've been trying to be more aware about the bad things that I do as a freelancer and fix them. But I feel like there's probably a lot we could talk about when it comes to some of the more common bad habits that freelancers have on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's good to talk about them so you know what they are, you know how to be aware of them, and then you can, like I said, work towards avoiding them and getting better at correcting them. So let's talk about some of the things that maybe you were bad at in the past or maybe you still struggle with today. You go first and then I'll share my short list.
I'm really good at bad habits.
Are you?
I have a lot of them. So I feel like I'm really good at having bad habits.
Okay.
Which is really bad.
It is bad.
For me, I definitely get too into the work I'm doing and forsake movement and hydration and my eyes. As I get older, my eyes are getting worse and I feel like I should spend less time looking at a computer screen. And it's funny, like I think that because I'm in my 40s, I feel like if I had been better about bad habits, one, I would have less bad habits, and two, my body would be doing better than it is. When I was in my 20s, some days I would work like 12, 16 hours a day because I could.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, oh, I can sit here and just like crank through this work. And I feel like the ramifications of that were unseen at the time, because by doing that, not focusing on my health for like another 10 years from my early 20s and not focusing on taking care of myself, I feel like I could have built up, like if I had been going to the gym every day in my 20s or doing yoga more or like spending less time on my screen or taking care of myself a bit better, then I probably would be better off now. Whereas like things getting really bad and then being like, okay, I do have to start doing like lots more yoga, lots more gym, lots more breaks, lots more water. I'm looking at my desk right now. I have a 32-ounce cup of water and another like mason jar of water.
That's the secret.
Yeah.
Have it in arm's reach and you'll drink it.
Exactly. And a banana peel, because I had a banana before we started recording for energy, because it's fruit and it feels healthy instead of just sugary cereal. So I think that for me, those are definitely, I know we can kind of break bad habits up into like bad habits we have with clients, bad habits we have with like self-care, but as far as like taking care of myself, those are kind of the bad habits that I'm not the best at now, but I'm definitely better. But I'm only better at them because I have to be. Like I can't stare at a screen for hours at a time without giving my eyes a break. Or I can't sit at a desk for hours at a time without my back hurting and me needing to like stretch it out. How about you?
Yeah, all of those things are things that I still wrestle with. I'm getting better because I think we talked about this in an episode last season. I've kind of built some things into my routine in a day-to-day basis where I have to get up and move around. Like I have a yoga class. I know you do that too. I have two walks that I take with my dog every day when it's nice out. So I've just kind of structured those into my day so that I'm better about getting up and moving around, because when I don't, my body hates me and I feel terrible. And then the water thing too. I just keep a 32-ounce water bottle or a cup or whatever on my desk with lemon. And I find that I drink a lot more water that way. But I think that there are also some business related things that I struggled with early on and that other people I feel like probably can relate with too. And a big one for me early on was never raising my rates. So I would go 6, 12, 18 months even sometimes without following up with a client and being like, hey, my rates are going up 15 to 20 to 25% based on how long it's been. And I would just fall into this habit of, well, this is how it's always been, so I don't want to mess things up and ruffle any feathers and ask for more money. But I mean, if you were in a traditional job, you'd get at least probably a 3% cost of living raise. So you're doing yourself a disservice by not asking for that increase in whatever, if you have a monthly retainer or if you have you know, a steady amount of work that you get on a normal basis. I feel like you have the right to ask for those things. And it's up to you, though, just to remember to do it, to be confident enough to ask for those types of things. So that was a big one. I think another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with that was that I was overcommitting. So because I wasn't earning the money I wanted to be earning, I just kept saying yes to jobs and to opportunities. So I would get in over my head and then I would be really stressed out and I would end up sitting in the chair for too long because I had so much work to do. So that was always an ongoing problem. I just never knew how to say no and to be better about being selective about the work I said yes to. And then the biggest one for me that I still struggle with today is downplaying my work and my skills as a freelancer to my friends and family. And I'm just not good at talking about what I do and how I'm good at it and how it's like a meaningful career for me. So usually what happens is when somebody asks me what I do, I'll say something stupid like, oh, I work from home and I just sit in my pajamas all day and talk to my dog, which makes me sound like a bum. And I'm actually, you know, a smart person who's has a lot of expertise about what I do. And I've gotten on a lot of interesting opportunities and like all of these cool things I never mention. I always downplay it and make myself look stupid almost to other people. And so I don't really have a good fix for that. Maybe you have some advice. Maybe you have some tips on how to be better about that.
Yeah. I mean, you kick ass on the internet all day while being in your pajamas and talking to your dog.
I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, for me, I just don't want to engage with my family about work stuff. So I just like, I think I mostly just tell them that, like, I make the internet.
There you go.
So leave me alone so I can get back to that. But, yeah, even when people like ask what I do, like as we had like a neighborhood, well, I'm the captain of the neighborhood watch for the block. Such a nerd. Even in real life, I'm a nerd. But like when people ask like neighbors, like, oh, what do you do for a living? I usually just like try to think of like one word answers. Like I write. Like,
yeah, that's good.
Oh, cool.
Keep it simple. Like,
right. That's it. It doesn't really downplay, but it doesn't really give nearly the whole story either. But I think for that, it might be a little contextual because I don't want to talk to people that aren't in work about work.
That makes sense.
I talk about work enough. We have a whole show, which you're listening to right now, talking about work. That's enough for me. As far as like freelancing bad habits around clients, I think it's tough because especially with like the first point that you brought up, the not raising your rates. I think that one's especially tough because where our rates currently are at is what's working for us to some degree. Like maybe it's not working for us. We're not making like all the money in the world, but if we're getting clients at the rate that we currently have, then why rock the boat?
Yeah.
Like in our brains, we're like, why should I change this? But you're right as well in the point about like, hey, people in other jobs get raises.
Mm-hmm.
People get like cost of living increases, inflation increases, the cost of everything goes up. The cost of your services also need to go up. And it was always slightly easier for me to just raise my rates for new clients and then see if that worked. And then if it did, then slowly bring my existing clients or my retainer clients up to that level. Like I would always test like, maybe I should charge like 20% more. So it's like on this next quote, I'm going to charge 20% more. And then if I get it, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Exactly. There's some confidence built there. And then it's like, okay, the next one, I'm definitely going to try that again. And then if that works for a little while, then it'd be like, okay, well, all of my other clients aren't paying 20% more. So I'm going to start to like bring them up to speed and probably give, if they're retainers, especially give them some warning. Like, hey, my rates are going to go up in 3 months. So just so you have some warning, because the rates of everything go up over time because money is worth less over time.
I feel like there's such an opportunity too in the freelance capacity because you can speak to the results that you're producing for the client too and make a case for like the value that you're providing and that warranting more money. Whereas in a traditional job, you don't always have those hard numbers or metrics or successes to pull from. Maybe you do, but I think a lot of times it's a lot more gray or the projects take a lot longer. So you don't have, you know, a hard stop to things where you can look back and reflect and say, here's what worked well and here's what we accomplished together. But with freelancing, you do. And so I feel like it's important to capitalize on that opportunity and use it as a, I don't know, a springboard, I guess, for asking, not asking for more money, but making a case for why you're worth more.
Yeah. I think habits are tough because like habits make routine, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether we're talking about drinking enough water or charging more or overcommitting, it's hard to break what we're currently doing. Like it takes so much effort to change something. This is why a lot of times like we get stuck in routines or ruts or get stuck in like the way things are, because the way things could be is definitely better, but there's so much work and effort that has to go into making that change that I think sometimes we just avoid it.
Yeah.
Or we're just like, oh, well, even getting into like a routine for working out, the first month of going to the gym, if you don't, which I haven't for my whole life, is torture. It's like, why am I going to put myself through this and be sore for a couple days and need Epsom salt baths and take an hour out of my day? And it takes so much work in the beginning. And this is why I think people fall off of whatever the habit is that they're trying to build, is like, it's so much work in the beginning, but that decreases over time. So like when you're consistent about it, then it just becomes like, oh, this is just part of my day. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this yoga class starts at this time. I'm going to go and it's on my calendar. So I'm not going to book a client call, except I did that this week. That sucked. I forgot to put it in my calendar. But like, I think that it's hard to break the habits that we have in favor of new habits, even if those new habits could be more beneficial.
Freelancing is hard enough. So why not let someone else take care of hosting for your clients?
That's why Flywheel created a simple platform that makes it a breeze to build WordPress sites, collaborate with clients, and seamlessly offload the finished product, all from the same place. Trust us. With a WordPress solution this smooth, you'll have tons of time to book new freelance business.
So why do we think Flywheel is the best WordPress hosting for clients?
Well, those free demo sites are pretty awesome. That way you don't have to pay until you go live.
They also have easy to transfer billing to a client once you finish up the project, or you can get them to pay right from the start while you set things up.
So never worry about a client calling you at 2 a.m. because their site is down. Flywheel has servers around the world and tech on standby 24/7. They even back your websites up nightly and will clean up your WordPress site if it gets hacked.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/cc and use the code CCPODCAST to snag 50% off your first month of any plan. Well, yeah, I mean, change is scary. Any type of change is scary, no matter the situation, no matter if it's business, personal, whatever. Like, change is generally hard for most people. And I think that you touched on something that's also, and I know you've written about this too, is that it's easy to feel like you always should be busy or productive, especially in regard to if you're a freelancer, you're essentially your own boss. So you're the one who's directing what happens. You feel like you should always, I don't know, like be saying yes to a new project or have new stuff coming down the pipeline. And if you don't, there's this impending sense of doom that happens and that, you know, creates this cycle of, oh my gosh, this is falling apart. My freelance career is over. I mean, I'm pretty sure I had that happen to me last month, because anytime I like a client phases out or things get a little slower than usual, I have this experience where I freak out and I think that everything is ending and everything is terrible. So do you have any advice for people who are trying to break from that mentality? Because I feel like you're somebody who has come to grips with not always being busy and like mastering boundaries around scheduling. Do you think that's true? Would you say that's true?
I would say it's partially true for myself. I think the unintended backlash of our society and freelancers and people who do work for a living in general around productivity, the unintended backlash of that is that we feel like shit if we're not being productive. Mm-hmm. And I experience that all the time. Like before we started recording, I was talking about how yesterday it was like 20 degrees Celsius and my wife and I went for a drive and had some pizza. But like I felt, not the whole time, of course, because it was fun, but like part of that time I was like, I could be working. And then like I just have to call bullshit on myself because I'm like, is there anything pressing? No. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that can't wait until I get home or the next day? No. You and I had already recorded other episodes of this season for 3 hours prior to that. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing on my to-do list, was record with you. And it's like, why should I be guilty for not being productive in my work when I got the things done that I said that I was going to do for the day? But it's tough. Like it's hard to accept that when productivity is like just such a huge part of like freelancing and entrepreneurship nowadays. It's like it's hard to feel okay with not being productive, and just like it's hard to feel good about not being busy when everybody's out there crushing it and everybody's out there hustling and everybody's out there like, it's almost like the default answer. And I call people out on this sometimes too, not to be a dick, well, not to be a total jerk, but sometimes be a jerk. Because people are always like, oh, you must be so busy. Because that's like a habit that people have kind of gotten into where it's like, oh, it's okay to be busy. Like everybody else is busy. Like I should be busy too. And I always tell people like, if I'm busy, I'm doing something wrong. Like if I'm busy, I haven't got my priorities in order. I don't want to be busy as a default state. Is what it comes down to. Like, I like being driven. I like doing work. I like working hard. But like, if I'm busy, then I'm going to have stress and anxiety. And I don't want those things mm-hmm. in my life as much as I can control them. And so like, I try not to be busy, or like, I'll be busy for a little sprint. And that like the book launch recently, I was busy and that was hard. Like that was, I still feel tired from those like 3 months of being busy. And I think that when habits kind of become the norm, when you think that everybody else has this habit of being busy or being productive, except for you, and then you feel bad about that, I think that's a scary place to be.
It is. And I feel like it's probably the number one freelancer bad habit. And again, it's just kind of culturally ingrained. Like we're supposed to be busy. That's just our culture. That's, I don't know, that's a little bit of capitalism, I guess, is like always be closing, I guess. So I don't know. We're just so programmed to have that as like, what is the norm and what we're supposed to be doing. So to break with that is really difficult. And especially if you're new to freelancing and your rates are still kind of low, you're probably not at the earning place you'd like to be. And so you see all this beautiful potential out there to earn more money by saying yes to things. But you mentioned this before, like there's a cost associated with that. And so often the first thing to go is our personal time or the boundaries around like, oh, I want to be able to go to that class today, or I want to be able to take this afternoon off and go enjoy the outdoors, which is like the number one perk of freelancing is the flexibility, right? But it's so often the first thing we let slide when the opportunity to be busy or to be doing something that earns money is on the table. And so, yeah, it's hard to be okay with saying no to things or to restructuring things so that you can take advantage of that flexibility. But it's also hard to just personally break from saying yes. Learning to say mm-hmm. no is so, so hard.
Yeah. But for me, it comes down to I want a business that supports my life and not a life that supports my business. This is why I started freelancing. This is why I've worked for myself for 20 years. Like, and you can fight me on this, or like, the internet can fight me on this, but like every business is a lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do. Like, I don't care if you work for a company, if you're at a high growth startup, if you're a freelancer, if you're an indie entrepreneur, any job that you do for a living is going to give you a lifestyle associated with it. Like if you're a typical corporate worker, you're 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, possibly some overtime. And that's the lifestyle that you get. Like the life that you get out of work is very prescriptive in that way. If you work for a high growth startup or venture funded startup, like you're going to be expected to work like 80 hours a week or more and sleep under your desk or similar, or sleep on a couch in your office like Elon Musk does. I have a couch in my office too, but it's for naps and Netflix, not for like I got too busy. Yeah. I think if you work for yourself, if you're a freelancer, if you do this thing, you're doing it because you want some aspect of freedom in your life. You want some aspect of choice. You want some aspect of being able to determine the type of business you have that gives you the most for what you want out of life. And I think that if we build habits that run counter to that idea that we want for ourselves, we can end up in a bad place. And I speak from experience. Like I've made my business into something I didn't like because I made the lifestyle I got from my business into the lifestyle that I had outside of business a couple times. And it's not like, it's never worth it. Like you think the payoff is going to be worth it. And it never is.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to become what you hate, or you don't want to turn your freelance career into the exact thing you were trying to escape when you left your 9-to-5 job. So the only way to do that is to have the boundaries and to have the definition of enough and to have your priorities straight around how you invest your time, because it's such a limited resource. And even though, yeah, you have the potential to earn more money, you have the potential to maybe like earn more notoriety, I guess, or to have your name up in lights or be like a thought leader, whatever it might be, you have to weigh those with what you're trading off in exchange for doing those things.
Yeah, we just got pretty deep there.
We did. And those were Midtown lyrics, by the way, Become What You Hate. I had to work that in, of course.
There you go. So I guess I just want to end with this. If these bad habits are detrimental and change is difficult, are there things you do to increase your likelihood of building good habits over bad? And I bring this up and I'll ask you this question after I make this point, is that I've tried using things like timers or like notifications. I had an Apple Watch for 3 days and those things don't work for like, but the thing is like, I've seen these things work for other people and tried them for myself. And I'm like, no, this is not how I can build habits. So I'm wondering what you do to build better habits in your work and life.
I have a similar aversion to those types of things. They just don't work for me. I don't like the binding nature of them. I guess that's part of my personality, I guess. I'm reading a book about it right now called The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, and I'm a rebel and I'm learning a lot about myself. I think you would fit into that.
You have a leather jacket.
I think you, yeah, I think you would fit into that category too. So good book, just throwing that out there. But yeah, none of those things are effective for me. So my motivators and the things that I found to be effective are very much just like big picture, what do I want for myself? What steps do I need to take to get to that? I think it does help me also to have, again, a partner who reminds me of that and keeps me mindful of, hey, you're doing too much or something you're doing isn't working. Maybe think about doing that a different way. So if you don't have somebody who can kind of keep you in check, that's, I think, good to have. And maybe it's another freelancer that you can check in with. Maybe it's a mentor or a coach or a peer. It's good to have that person who you can touch base with and say, here's how things are going. And they can look at you and say, maybe take a break. Like maybe you're doing too much. What about you?
Yeah, I've tried those things and they just don't work. And it's funny because like timers don't work. Watches don't work. Such an aversion to authority. I was just getting mad at my watch. Like, you're telling me to breathe right now? Like, dude, you're telling me to stand up right now? Like, it just doesn't work. But what does work for me is my calendar. So my calendar basically runs my life. So like I was talking about earlier, like yoga is in my calendar because if I don't put it in my calendar, I'm going to do something stupid like schedule work when I should be at a yoga class, which I did this week and I wish I hadn't a couple of days ago. And so things like that really work. Things like if I don't want to do any calls or anything on Mondays and Fridays, which I typically don't, then I put in my calendar, like don't do calls or meetings. Because if I see there's free space, I'm like, oh, there's free space. I can use it.
Right.
I can book something or like go to the gym. Like, so I use my, I kind of lean on my calendar to do those things. Cause if I don't put it in my calendar, it doesn't exist in my head and then I can forget. And then the bad habits are just going to creep back in.
Yeah. Good call.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review there.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co.
Yes.